This morning I'll be reading from James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. James 4, 13 and 14. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes.
Last Wednesday night, I was delighted, like I'm sure many of you who were here were, to hear the announcement made by the elders that Brother Andrew Phillips is going to be coming and working with this congregation as its pulpit minister. We've been blessed in the last years with Kirk Brothers and his family. And know Kirk is going to continue to do great work for the Lord as he moves on to Freed Hardeman and will be training and teaching a lot of young men, I'm sure, to be faithful gospel preachers. But we have something to look forward to here as a fine young man and his family are coming to work with us, and I hope you'll be praying for him now. It's a big transition in his life and in the life of his family, and as they prepare to come and be a part of the church here and worship with us and lead us in our study of the Bible, that he needs our prayers and his family does. And I'm sure he's going to be praying for us. So there are great days ahead for this congregation, and I, like you, look forward to them. I appreciate the text and in the fine way that Christopher read that passage from James to us a moment ago. It does remind us of how swiftly life passes. And as we grow older, we realize that as young folks, it seems like life is going to go on and on. But there comes a point in our lives when we realize that time is running out and we don't have as much time as we did at an earlier time in our life. Sometimes we hear the expression, opportunity knocks but once. Now, that's not always true, but in many, many instances, that old adage does prove true. I can remember my grandfather, when I was just a boy, making the statement, I wish I could have my children back with me just for a day or two, like they were when they were just small. And the time came when I had that same sentiment, and even to this day there are some times when I wish my children were back as they were when they were at home. But those are days that are gone by, and they're not going to be lived again. There are certain times in our lives that we look back to and we wish that we could be a part of it, but for adults, those are not opportunities. They're just dreams. And wishful thinking is all that they really amount to, and that's what they are, simply dreams. Some unknown poet wrote these words, through this toilsome world, a world alas, once and only once I pass. If a kindness I may do to a suffering fellow man, let me do it while I can. No delay, for it is plain I shall not pass this way again. It is a sobering thought that every day we live well in the service of God, or we live an evil day, and it cannot be lived again. However we spend this day can never be changed. And in that same respect, I think about our Lord and the fact that our Lord once lived upon this earth, just like all of us, and He's not going to come back. He's not going to pass this way again. And whatever it was that God intended for Him to do while He was on this earth had to be done during that one lifespan. Jesus lived one time, and He will not pass this way again. Maybe you do the same as I do sometimes in reading the Bible. Think of how thrilling it would be if we could go back and live in certain ages of times past, Bible times, for instance. Well, would it not have been a great privilege to have been in that group of people who marched around the walls of Jericho for a total of 13 times, and then to see those great walls fall by the mighty hand of God? Would that not have been a great thing if we could have been there and have experienced that? And by the same token, would it not have been the privilege of a lifetime to see Moses' rod stretched out over the Red Sea, and to see the waters part, and that we could with the others walk across on dry land and begin our journey to the land that had been promised to us. Would it not have been a privilege to have been a part of that crowd when King Solomon dedicated the great temple to God and to the service of God? And likewise, would it have not been a tremendous, wonderful privilege to have been in the audience as Jesus preached one of his great sermons? And think of what it would have been like to sit down on the grass on one of those hillsides in Palestine as Jesus took five small loaves and fishes and fed 5,000 people. Just think what that would have been like. Well, who could forget such experiences as that? But those days are past, and we cannot live them. They cannot be lived again. And even some of the events in the life of Jesus that were not so beautiful would have been a privilege to be a part of. Would it not have been a privilege to stand at the foot of the cross, not as one of those who were guilty of crucifying him, but as one who loved him and wanted to stay with him to the very last? And is there a more blessed man, privileged man, than Joseph of Arimathea, who was allowed to take the body of Jesus and to put it in his own new tomb? Well, even these gruesome events, while not pleasant, would have been wonderful to have experienced. But we did not, and we cannot, because our Lord has lived his one life on this earth, and he's not going to live again on this earth. He's now ascended to the Father. While Jesus was on the earth, there were numerous times when he alluded to the limitation of the time that was his on this earth. Sometimes his disciples and his apostles would try to get Jesus. They would encourage him to get away, to go somewhere where he could be quiet and to rest. That seems like a logical thing. We look forward to those times when we can just get away and rest. But the answer that Jesus would give to them as they would say things such as that, he said, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." He was just saying, my time is limited, and I've got to use the time now because it won't be long before that's going to be gone. Sometimes as he talked to his disciples, he would refer to the time that death was coming, and he would use expressions like, "Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." He knew what was coming. Sometimes he would later, in that same book of John, use expressions and language referring to his death in these words, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Jesus' purpose in coming to this earth was to show the great saving power of God and then try to get men to accept the grace that he was offering, the salvation that he was offering. And once he had done that, he died, and then he was ascended to the Father. Jesus is not going to repeat his life on this earth. In John 17, we find him praying to God, knowing about what was going to happen. He said, "Father, the hour's come." He knew they were going to come and take him as a common criminal. He knew he was going to be crucified. And he was saying, as he was on the cross now, "It is finished." What did he mean by that expression? Was he saying, "My life is ending, and my blood is being shed drop by drop on the ground, that my life is over now"? No, that's not really what he had in mind. He was saying, "The purpose that you've given me, I have accomplished, and now it's finished." Jesus meant the purpose for which the Father had sent him to this earth had been done, and now it was all over. He was not going to continue living. He was not going to come back. He was not going to live this life again. Perhaps sometimes you and I feel like the rich man in the story of the rich man and Lazarus. You remember he found himself in torment and he began to think about his five brothers who were still living. And he said to Abraham, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus back to talk to my brothers." And Abraham said, "No, they have Moses and the prophets. If they will not hear them, neither will they be persuaded if one rise from the grave." But he said, "If Lazarus goes back, if one goes back from the dead, surely they will hear. They would believe." Abraham said, basically, "No, that's not true." But surely we can appreciate the feeling and the thinking of that man as he thought about his brothers. That if he could do something dramatic, if he could do something different, if somebody that had been dead came back and talked to them, that surely that would make a difference. Sometimes you hear preachers trying to stimulate and encourage people to come and worship, and you might hear them say something like, "You know, if Jesus were going to be in this pulpit tonight, you'd come back, wouldn't you? We probably wouldn't have enough chairs to put in this building if Jesus were going to come back and preach tonight." I wonder if that's really true. If Jesus were to live again, he would be met with the same rejection, with the same indifference, with the same hostility that he met when he was on the earth the first time. Jesus lived his life, and he's not going to pass this way again. He's done for us all that can be done, all that he can do for us. Now it's up to us. It's up to us to respond and to mold our lives according to his life, in this respect as in other respects. Some men believe in reincarnation. I've seen that a number of times as I've traveled in India. The prominent religion there is Hinduism, and the idea is that you'll come back once you die in some other form. It may be a cow. That's why they are allowed to just kind of wander where they want to. It may be as a monkey. It may be as a snake of some kind. But you'll come back. And then you can work your way up the ladder and become something better each time if you do right. But there's that idea. You're going to live another life and then another life. But that, of course, is not the view that's revealed to us in the Bible. The biblical view is that we shall live one time and we shall not pass this way again. Hebrews 10, verse 27, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment." Now the question comes, what are we going to do? What are we going to do with this one life? As we began thinking this morning in this portion of our worship, we thought about how wonderful it would be if we could go back and relive some of those days that have passed, maybe our childhood days. Maybe they're those wonderful memories of the teenage years. But if we could just go back and live one or two of those days, how wonderful it would be. And then we alluded to the fact that Jesus lived his one life and that he's not going to come again. Just like us, he lived one life and his work has been done and he's not coming back to relive on this earthly life. Now, may we be reminded. May we be encouraged to realize that we're living right now our life. Not this life plus one or two or three more. This is it. This is the only time we're going to have to live on this earth. And whatever it is we're going to do, whatever it is that we're going to do in service to God, whatever it is that we're going to do in trying to live our lives so that he will accept us in eternity has got to be done right now, because after this will come the judgment. And whatever it is that we do in this life is exactly what we're going to take with us to judgment. This life, not this life plus another. We're not going to pass this way again. What then does all of this mean to us? It simply means that we must follow the example of Jesus in this respect as in every other respect. That we're to live our life as he lived his life. And what is it that Jesus did? What did he do with his life? Obviously, he did more with his life on this earth than any other person who's ever lived. Even at an early age, we find him answering his parents when they were looking for him by saying, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" And later, as a young adult, you find Jesus likewise causing unrest, causing unconcern everywhere he went. Not because he was a political or a military revolutionary, but because he was challenging people concerning the way they were living their lives. He would look to the religious leaders of his day, and they were pretending simply to be good. They were pretending to be religious people. And he would say to them, "You're like whited sepulchres, beautiful on the outside, but inwardly you're full of dead men's bones and rottenness," he would say in Matthew 23 and verse 27. You wonder, what was Jesus trying to do? Was he trying to get himself crucified? Was he trying to stir up problems? Was he trying to antagonize the Roman leaders that were in Palestine at that time? No, Jesus was not trying to do any of those things. He was simply trying to get people to examine and re-examine their lives to see if they were spending their life in the service of God like they should be. He was saying, in effect, "I have one life to live, and so do you. I am living my life for God the Father, and I want you to live your life in service to God." He said, "I've come to do the will of my Father. I've come not to do my own will, but the will of my Father." And in his final hours on this earth, he said, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." And then there were those words, "But not my will, but thy will be done." And Jesus likewise is saying, "I have one life to live, and I'm going to live that life for God, not for self. Not for anything else, I'm going to live my life for God." And then it was as if Jesus said, "You too have one life to live, and you ought to live it in service to God. I shall not pass this way again, and neither shall you." I suppose there are times in our lives when all of us have thought a little bit about how wonderful it would be if we could just relive that 1 year, 1 month. If we could just live that one day over, we would do so much better than we had done. But I wonder if that's really, really true. Would there really be anything gained by living another life on this earth? I think not. Nothing would really be gained, because whatever we did in the past, we would probably repeat and do the same things over. Whatever failures we made, we probably would make again. There would really be no virtue in living again. There would be no virtue in Jesus coming back to this earth and living his life over again, because he's already done all that can be done for us. He's given us his life. There'd be no virtue in his dying again for us. There would be no virtue in our living another life here, because right now we have all the opportunities we could possibly hope for. Right now we have the opportunity to come to him. Right now he's saying, "I want to save you. I've died for you. And now you have the opportunity. You're living. You have breath within you. You have time. Use your life to come to me and to serve me, and to live the good life, the happy life. And I want to take you home to heaven." He's saying, "You're living your one life on this earth. Use it in service to God. Use your opportunities before time passes away." Are you living your life? Are you living your life as God wants you to live your life? Many of us, there's some here this morning who have rejected the Lord's invitation once, twice, maybe 100 times. You've come and have heard the invitation of the Lord repeated perhaps for years, and still have not yet accepted it, but you have this opportunity. You have the opportunity to come this morning. You have the opportunity to use your ears to hear his loving call. You have the opportunity to use your eyes to see what He's done for you. Life will be gone. I don't know how many times in the last just few years, because I know of my age and the age of many that I've worshipped with and known over the years, I don't know how many times I've stood by the open grave and with a family with tears in our eyes bid farewell to one that we loved. They lived their life. It's over. And they're not going to pass this way again. And I think I have closed just about every service, funeral service, that I've been privileged to preach by in prayer saying, Father, as we stand in the presence of death, may we realize that though life is sweet, death is sure, and eternity is without end. What are you doing with your life? Jesus said, I shall not pass this way again, and neither shall you nor I. But we do have this great opportunity. We have life. We have strength. We can come to Him. We can understand Him when He said, if you believe on Me as the Son of God and you'll confess that, and you'll be buried with Me in baptism, born again into My family, I'll add you to My church. And if you live faithful, whatever days you have left, I'll take you home to heaven. Throughout eternity, then, we can live. The invitation of the Lord is once again extended. Would you accept it? Would you do it this morning as you have this opportunity? And as we stand and as we sing.